Yeah, ครับ
Blog Talk Radio
You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. Oh, yes, this is just a beautiful and glorious day. Here we are in a brand new year, looking at the blessings of the Lord that maketh us rich and add no sorrow. Yes, I pray that God bless you today with a no sorrow blessing, that he would just overtake you and bless you. Yes, you, my friend. Truly, God wants to bless his people in a mighty and a special way. We're living in such time of perplexity, but one of the things we do have, the blessed assurance that knowing that Jesus is ours and that he will be our provider, he will make a way out of no way, and God is the God that sit high and look low and can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. So whatever is going on in your life right now, I want you to look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth, and recognize he got all power in his hand. On today, as we've drawn our minds in on today, we have just a glorious, glorious lesson for us on today. And our lesson is going to be on contemplating life's purpose. And so we're going to be looking at the scripture reference on today. It's going to be found over in John chapter number 12, verses 24 to verse number 36. So why don't you just grab your Bible, come on in, and just make yourself right at home. And just as we sit at the Master's feet and just dine from his table on today and receive a word into your spirit, a word of encouragement, a word that is relevant for your situation even on today, as you contextualize the word of the Lord and use it, that it may bring strength and power and undergird you on today. So let's take a look. Here we are, we're sitting at such a key time in history and in our lives that a lot of decisions are being made. We're in a fresh place, a new place, and looking for God to continue to pour down that fresh oil down and through the lives of his people. And as we sit at this great place of a paradox where God is moving profoundly throughout the land, and even though you may be feeling a lot of tension, a lot of strain on you, recognize that God is expanding his people and putting them in new places and just reorganizing things throughout the body. That is just a phenomenal move of God. So here we're looking at contemplating life's purpose. So in the midst of it all, you want to be able to stay focused and holding fast unto what God is doing in and through your life here. At John, as you grab your Bible, chapter number 12, verses number 24 to verse number 26. And let us all just read that together. And I'm going to read it in your heated, but I want you to read along with me. And it reads on this line, "Verily, verily, verily, I tell you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth, but if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by heard it and said that it thundereth. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto him, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hid himself from them. So far, the reading of our scripture for today, and our focus, children of God, is going to be around verse number 27 in John chapter number 12. And it reads on this line, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Now, to bring honor and glory to life, we must contemplate the purpose for which we live. Once we understand our purpose in life, we must follow through and set our course to successful conclusion, to a successful conclusion. And I think that is so key for us, children of God, because sometimes we're so focused sometimes in the right now as opposed to really just looking well and even further down the line to saying, God, even though I'm here, I started off well, was doing well, thanks be unto God, but Lord, I want even the conclusion, my whole life will be bring glory and bring honor unto you, even at the conclusion, however that may be. We want that to be brought forth in a place of glory and honor unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's look at this here thought for today, contemplating life's purpose. A person lives a purpose-driven life only by attaining the clear direction of a visionary goal. Now, the lack of vision and purpose leads a person to a reactionary lifestyle whereby life loses its meaning. No one finds fulfillment by meandering along with life's winding path without any goals or determined direction. Someone said, a person who have no goals is certain to hit his target. Life is meaningless without passion or worthy purpose-driven goals. When a person have a clear vision of purpose, self-discipline declines as he shrinks into the bliss existence. A visionless person will simply follow his human desire in gratifying their carnal and fleshly passion. The writer of Hebrews declares, where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29 and 18. Some positive results of an individual finding ultimate purpose for living are industry, character, personal enrichment, fulfillment, and achievement. However, the ultimate purpose for every human being is to establish a relationship with God and become a worshiper of His majesty. Now, that's the ultimate purpose. Now, let's take a look at the scripture. Colossians 1, verses 16 through 18 reads, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principality or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, although fulfilling his purpose was the most difficult task of anyone who has ever lived, Jesus Christ lived the ultimate purpose-driven life. His mission, dying for the sins of the world, was not a natural death, but a deliberate, a premature, and violent death to ransom the souls of the entire human race. Through the supplicatory death, he ushered in a new spiritual kingdom that transcended the old and brought about a remedy for the fallen state of mankind. He understood his mission early in life and prepared well. Never fighting against God's will, he embraced the divine purpose of God along with all of his discomforts. Now, in today's lesson text, Jesus said to his disciple, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." But for this hour cause came I unto this hour. John 12:27. Now, throughout his short lifespan, he directed every decision and action towards achieving the lofty purpose. His education, travel, ministry, social interaction, teaching, and miracles all carried him to the final crescendo of the spiritual achievement. Jesus not only came to redeem the human race with his death, burial, and resurrection, but through his earthly ministry, he set a precedent of purpose that transcends the dead religion routine of his day. Indeed, he made his mission abundantly clear. You'll find that over in Luke chapter number 4, verse 18 through 19, and it reads on this line, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable years of the Lord." Now, contemplate the purpose of life. In his gospel, John related the last hours of Jesus' ministry on earth. It was only 6 days unto the Passover, and Jesus was in Bethany visiting Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and many people had came to their house out of curiosity. They wanted to behold this amazing miracle for themselves. During this supper, Mary took a pound of very costly spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. Judas reacted with startled disdain, suggesting that her sacrifice was a waste. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? John 12:5 states, "Knowing that Judas did not really care for the poor in his greed and selfishness, Jesus memorialized the moment by declaring Mary was anointing his body for burial. At a moment when he was experiencing severe adulation from a loving friend, Jesus could have savored the ego-building action of Mary. However, he instead envisioned his impending crucifixion. Now, Mary provided an example of a person who understood that her purpose in life involved the moment that she spent with Jesus. Recognizing him as the Messiah, she did not restrain from her expression of love and devotion to him. She gave him her best. her expression of adulation fulfilling the first commandment, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul and with all thy might. Deuteronomy 6:5. Kneeling before him, pouring the precious ointment on his feet, and tenderly wiping them with her long hair, caused the sweet aroma of her action to fill the room. This unusual display of affection must have startled the onlookers. Likewise, fulfilling his purpose in our lives may cause some people to misunderstand our action. But our devotion to God is our highest calling in life. Many people believe in Jesus after he raised Lazarus from the dead, which angered the chief priests so intensely that they plotted to kill him, both Lazarus and Jesus. Amazingly, their intense hatred of this miracle worker caused them to overlook the joy of the miracle itself. Misdirected and misguided people have always tried to destroy the joy that God gives to his believers. Now, let's look at another point here. Maintaining purpose amid many voices. And we do recognize sometimes that there are many voices, but here we want to be able to maintain the focus in the midst of many voices. As the hour of his death approached, a number of extreme reactions to his person and ministry inundated Jesus. In Bethany, he set a special supper honoring him along with his friend, Lazarus, when he had just raised him from the dead. While the curious was craning their necks in order to get a glimpse of the miracle worker and his miracle, Mary worshiped him with the purest and the most sacrificial gesture. At the same time, the chief priests were at the temple plotting to have him murdered. The next day, Jesus rode a donkey colt on his way to Jerusalem, and a great crowd gathered along the route so that they might feel a glimpse of him. The people shouted the word, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." John 12:13. Along with their garments, they spread palm branches in the path, his path. In the midst of all this veracity worship, Jesus remained serene. He knew his mission, and he had completely submitted to God's divine will for his life. And I think that is so key for us to know, for us as children of God, that we must submit to the divine will that God has for our life. And submitting our life to God's divine will for our lives. And how do you do that, you may say? Well, every day when you wake up in the morning, just declare it. God, I submit myself to your divine will for my life today. Lord, I submit myself to your divine will for my life today, living your life one day at a time in the divine will of God by declaring, God, I will live in your divine will for my life. I line my life up with it. I line my thoughts up with it. I line my heart up with it, my soul and my action and my spirit up with your divine will for my life. The threats of the chief priests did not terrify Jesus, nor did the praises of the people flatter him. He knew his death was imminent, and nothing could stop the providential plans of God. Ultimately, the attitudes of the people did not matter, for his mission would not allow anything to deter them. As the crowd shouted their approval, he knew that they would not be their earthly king. For the time of the natural kingdom of earth was for another day and another time. He could not fulfill their hope for the overthrow of the Roman government and establish a Jewish empire. Their aspiration for him did not suddenly spark another vision for the future in Jesus' mind. He held fast to God's purpose for his life as the prophetic voice of God resounding clearly in his mind. Now let's take a look at the scripture, Isaiah 50, verses 6 and 7. It reads, I gave my back to the smiter and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God would help me. Therefore I will not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Isaiah 50, verses 6 and verse number 7. Now let's look here at prayerful contemplation. Finding God's will for our lives require prayer and meditation. In our contemporary world, three things seemingly compete to keep us from finding our purpose and maintaining it. Number one is noise. Number two, being hurried. And number three, the crowd. If the enemy can continually engage us in complexity of life, he can rest satisfied that we will miss God's voice. We should strive to reach the level of prayer and the personal devotion where we can hear the still small voice of God. See 1 Kings verses 19 and 12. This is only comes when we are shut out the world around us and focus on God and his mission for our life. You'll find Genesis 24 and 6. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And so here, I want you to take for just a moment and begin to think in terms of when do you take that moment to meditate and spend that moment with God? And some may say, well, I do it at the first fruit of the day by giving God my first day. When I get up, before I get involved in anything else, I take that as the first fruit of my day and giving it back unto God and sitting before God and meditating upon his word and allowing God to speak a word unto your heart. That's giving him the first fruit of your day. And then when things come to try to hurry you, learn how to take control even over that. And one of the things that we must recognize, even though you may find yourself there, is just praying, God, give me divine direction. Help me to get these tasks or these projects done. Give me the strength. Help me to spend time to do it. And a lot of time I like to use, and if I may share and invite you to consider, is that sometimes that 15 minutes intervals is very helpful because you can do things in that 15 minutes and say, I'm going to work on this project for 15 minutes and then I'm going to put it to the side and work on another project. Or you can log out time or schedule out time for the certain things or tasks that you want to do and get accomplished. Now, the psalmist proclaimed, I remembered thee upon my bed and meditated on thee in the night watches, Psalm 63 and 6. God spoke to both Isaac and David, not because they had special ability, but because they listened. Now, isn't that key? Now, I want you to grab a hold of that revelation and that principle right there. And that is a profound, it's a small word, but it's a profound principle for the children of God. And I want you to get it because I don't want you to miss this because God is pouring out revelations too as we speak. It was not because of the person's ability or because of anything else that they have, but because they listened unto God. And that's key. As you listen unto God and making yourself available. Now, the other thing is that we want to say, meditation is not just an Eastern practice. It is a part of prayer. Now let's look at a couple of Psalms. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. The other scripture that we will read is Psalms 119, verses 148 and verse 149. It reads, my eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. Jesus found his purpose and kept his focus because he was a man of prayer. He slipped away from the crowd and from the voices so that he could meditate on the things that were important. See Mark verses 1, chapter 1, verses 35, and Matthew verses chapter 14, verse number 23. We should pray as the psalmist, and this is what he prayed. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Psalms 27 and 11, also Psalms 143 and 10. Jesus said that the corn of the wheat must die in order to fulfill his purpose. When he made that statement, he had just raised Lazarus from the tomb. Mary had recently anointed him with expensive spikenard. The crowd had demonstratively worshipped him in the street, and the Greeks were seeking an audience with him. It looks as if things were starting to break into a swell of popularity for him. However, to all of this hype and popularity, Jesus uttered, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternally. John 12, verses 23 and 24. Although this might seem to be a strange response to a sudden swell of popularity, Jesus understood the principle that was governing his mission. We understand that his analogy of death, burial, and the fruitful multiplication of the corn or wheat was a metaphor of his death, burial, and resurrection. He declared that it was a time for him to be glorified, but the crucifixion was credible through which he would accomplish this mission. Now, our purpose in life should always embrace this principle of life out of death, because sometimes we find ourselves in a situation that seems as though things are dying or things are being overthrown in our life and things are happening, and you're coming like in your heart and mind, God, why is this happening in my life? And you're kind of like, oh my God, I've never been in this place before, and it seemed like all things may be falling apart. Well, we must remember that the principle of life out of death. And so I don't want you to forget that principle of life out of death. And things. And so we have shared several principles key to your walk of being victorious and empowered through your walk with God. Number one, being able to listen. Number two, the other principle is giving God the first fruit of your day before everything come crowding in and being bombarded. Take that time to meditate on the word of the Lord and sit and listen unto God and just say, God, speak to me. And lining your life up with God's divine will for your life just that day and things. Because sufficient is the day's journey. What the enemy will have us to do is think about and be worried about what's getting ready to happen on next week and what's getting ready to happen down through the line. But it does not mean for us not to prepare and not for us to be concerned about those things. But God wants us to still yet to live in the present and live in his abundance of peace, his abundance of joy on this day that the Lord has made. Amen. Because tomorrow is not promised to none of us. But if we can stay in today and live it out to the fullness in the divine will of God. Amen. Pete, and then the third one, the other principle we talked about, I didn't want to overlook this last one again, is that the principle of life out of death. So that when you find yourself in situation and you find yourself battling, please remember in the economy of God. Oh, shalaraboshi koramana. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost hit right there. Shalaraboshi korama. Ah, karaboshi kora. In the economy of God, it may look like the situation is dead and over. But I come to tell somebody that is listening that you must stand in the principle of life out of death, because God will turn it around, because you don't operate in the same principle in which somebody else that sit right next to you in the job, and think you live in another kingdom, and that's the kingdom of God, and that's the economy of God. And so I want you to be blessed and hold fast to that principle, because if not, the enemy will try to make you seem as though that God is not on your side and is not going to come to pass. But you must remember, child of God, to stand in the principle of life out of death. And I want to say I thank you for those that are had taken on to put that on the web board for us, because I'm glad that the web chat, because we want to grab that so that you won't let that slip out of your heart and mind, because that's where the enemy want to come in and afflict our emotion and afflict our ability. So remember the three things again. Now I want us to go back about prayer and meditation. About the three things also we talked about as well. He wanted to make a lot of noise. He wanted to hurry you up and wanted to be a big crowd. And so in all these things, it can cause a person to be overthrown in things because of those things. But if you have spent time in meditation and took a moment of prayer, then God will bring you that peace, and you can recognize, oh, I'm in the principle. I'm going to stand in the principle of life out of death. And I would challenge you or invite you to take and write that down. Put it at a place where you can see it every day. I stand in that principle, God, that you are able to bring life out of this dead situation and things, because that's what your faith believes. Now, let's continue on, because this is some good stuff, and I want to say I thank God for those that are taking notes and putting it upon the web chat and things, because this is key for our lives and things to understand. And one of the things, if I can just share, children of God, that's why the adversary don't want you to tune in to lessons like this. He don't want you to be fed like this. And things. And that's why sometimes you're being fought to even get on board, because of the revelation that you're receiving down in your spirit to understand more about the kingdom of God and why you're being fought and why things are coming up against you and things, and give you a greater understanding and revelation. Amen. Amen. And so Peter responded to the inquiry of the day of Pentecost with the explicit instruction. Now, here it is. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38. Paul explained it further to the Romans, and he went on to say, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also, here it is, in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 6, verse number 6 through verse number 3 through 6. And I'll repeat that again. Romans chapter 6, verses number 3 through verse number 6. Now, the principle of life emerging from death appears through the new birth experience, and it continues to permeate the child of God's life. Jesus' words give us vital principle that guides us to know God's will and ultimately purpose for our lives. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Luke 14, verse 11. Again, look at the principle, again, of life and death emerging forth out of here. Now, look at us. When we begin to look at our life, when we've given our life unto the Lord Jesus Christ and things, we had to die out at the altar. We had to die. We had to repent of our sin. We had to literally die in things in order to become a whole and to live and to be brought into life, the newness of life. Jesus gave us the simple design for our life when he said, but seek ye first, here it is, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Matthew 6 and 33. And so it is again, this simple plan that God has for our life. And many times people are wandering and trying in a spiritual wilderness, trying to find, they're getting their calling. And all God is saying, just seek me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and in his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Get up in the morning and just seek him first. And his righteousness, Lord, I want to be in your righteousness today. I want to do what is right before you, dear God. I want to bring glory and honor to you. His righteousness and all these things, he said, shall be added unto you. And so when we begin to be people of principle and living out the principles of God, you will begin to start seeing the divine provision and divine interventions and God moving miraculously on our behalf because we lined up our lives daily with God's divine will for our life. As I shared on many occasions, and I'll share it again, God gave me a call at the end of 2008, probably midway. And matter of fact, he's been telling me this all along and think, well, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it through the vehicle of prayer. It's going to take prayer. People are going to have to pray. They're going to have to come back to prayer and call on my name, and they're going to see my hand, and you're going to see me move in a miraculous way and wonders among my people. But they must go back to prayer and calling on the name of the Lord in a mighty and a special way. And I just want to share a brief testimony. I shared with the precious press at our church that I had lost my glasses, and I couldn't find my glasses. I've been looking for them for almost two and a half weeks, when we had bad snow and back there in the latter part of December, around the 20th or so. It's almost a month or so. Actually, for sure about 3 weeks ago. And I lost my glasses, and I couldn't find them. And today we was on prayer. They was praying. The saints was praying at noon, and I was here in my home praying and sitting in my secret closet in my place of prayer and things. And I said, look down. And I looked down, and I seen this thing. It was up under my chair, and I looked down up under my chair. And lo and behold, it looked like a little piece of wire just sticking out from up under this big file that I have with some of my work up in. And lo and behold, the Lord said, you know, just lift that up. And I lifted up, and lo and behold, there was my glasses. They was there up under the chair I sit in every day, where I do my work for the Lord every day. They was right there up under the chair I sat, but it was a file, a heavy file, to say the least, a very heavy file that was sitting on top of it. And I was so amazed because I thought it was a piece of wire that was just that was peeking up under or sticking up under there. And the Lord said, no, I want you to lift it up. And the Spirit of the Lord put it in my heart to lift it up. And when I lifted up, lo and behold, my glasses was there. And I said, Lord, I thank you because my glasses could have been broken and things because of that heavy file that was on top of it. And it had a lot of stuff in it, and it was very heavy. It's heavy for me to even pick up. But my glasses wasn't broke. But I'm talking about the divine miracles and the blessings of God and how he's going to do through prayer and things when God tells us to go look and tell us to go and do what we need to do. God is going to do it on behalf of his people. Here it was right up under my chair. And things that it had fell and a big file was on top of it. We was looking behind things and down on the side of things and things. And lo and behold, God said, I just happened to look down and I seen this little thing look like a piece of wire. And lo and behold, there it was. And so it is. That's what the principle of prayer. I said that to say this. We must be engaged in prayer, children of God. And things as never before and things. And I want to invite you to come upon and be a covenant prayer partner with Shekinah Glory. And we're looking for intercessors that want to intercede and pray with us as we pray God's divine will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That is our mission. And things to pray as never before. And if you want to join us, go to our website, and there's a link there, and things that you can tune in. And that web is at ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com. ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com. SHEKINAH, Glory, GLORY, TABERNACLE.com. Amen. And please join. God needs your voice. And many times we think, oh, God, I don't have nothing to give you. I don't have the money. I don't have the income that I really desire to bless your kingdom. But guess what? God's economy is your voice and your faith. And when you bring your gift of that miracle between your nose and your chin to the kingdom of God and with the people of God, that is the revenue that God needs to release blessings among his people. But you must be willing to bring your voice and your faith and allow God to use you in a special way and things. And so many times people, the enemy trip us up and trip us in our mind and making us see, just be faithful with that. Be faithful with prayer and be faithful with your faith, bringing your faith, believing. Every time you come online, faith, believing and things. That is currency in the kingdom of God, and people don't really recognize it and understanding and things. And so I want you to grab a hold of it and things. You are a miracle and you are a blessing and you have something to contribute into the kingdom of God. You are releasing the hand of God like you're releasing billions and billions and trillions upon the children of God. Because you come together and touch and agree. So you must recognize the relevancy of prayer. And that's where the enemy tricked a lot of people in deception and deceiving them because they think, oh, why should I spend all this time in prayer? Because you're releasing God and you're releasing the principle and you helping the people of God and enabling God's will to be done and accomplished in the kingdom of God. So that is a gift. That is a blessing all by itself. Amen. And so use your blessing and use it to the glory of God, of our Father, which is in heaven. So let's look at continue on here. Putting God first requires not only a death to our own personal desire, but also the sacrifice necessary to achieve the prevailing purpose. In his letter to the Galatian church, Paul expressed his own challenge. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 and 20. Furthermore, he stated the perpetual crucifixion of his will. I die daily. 1 Corinthians 15 and 31. Now, let's examine that in things of our crucifixion and things. Our dying daily, it means very deeply, is that, you know, I can sit here or at noon, I can go look at the news, I can go look and do other things, but I die daily saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give my time and energy and my voice and my faith and my belief and my hope to prayer. I'm going to give that all to prayer. And the enemy may say, oh, you don't have a dime in your purse pocket. Yes, you do. You have great currency in the kingdom of God. You have your faith. You have your hope. You have your trust and your ability to believe. So bring all of those riches and all of that wealth to the prayer line and believe God that God will hear as you touch and agree with any of the other intercessors. And watch God profoundly bless you as you move great mountains and speak to mountains. It takes your faith. It takes your willingness. And it takes your obedience to make sure you're present and there and available to do the work. That's how we die daily in things, by making ourselves available. Coming to the conclusion concerning our purpose in life, every person must come to a decisive moment where they question their life's purpose. There is, of course, is the universal call of God on every person's life. Once a person embraces that call, they can apply it more specifically to their occupation, their education, the geographical location, ministry, marriage, children, and other areas of their life. God has put diversity in the church, which Paul compared to a physical body, which each person is a member and serve a special function. See 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 and also chapter 13 and 14. Therefore, we all must seek to find his divine purpose for our life, the specific function in God's church. Now, Jesus knew his purpose early in life. The angel had declared, for unto us is born this day in the city of God, of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, Luke 2 and 11. He knew that he was to be the Savior of the world, and he knew that his mission was for the needy. He stood in the synagogue and read from the book of Isaiah, for he knew that those who prophetic words spoke of him. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. Jesus' mission required the ultimate sacrifice. He contemplated his mission with these words. Now my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. John 12, verses 27. The purpose of the child of God's life is similar to that of Jesus completing his mission on earth. See Mark 16 and 15. Now, the glorified name, as we concluding here, when Jesus prayed, Father, glorify thy name, a voice from heaven declared, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again, John 12:28. God glorified his name both at his baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration. See Matthew 3:17 and chapter 17, verses 2. Some who heard the voice said they thought it thundered, and Jesus stated that the voice came for their sake. Now, let's look here at another point. We have a relationship with the Father. Atheism, Russell Bertrand said, unless you assume a God, the question of life purpose is meaningless. He spoke not for all atheists, but he spoke for him. Life was meaningless. Having a relationship with God is the highest, child of God. It is the highest achievement anyone in this life can have. Exceeding all other, this relationship is God's ultimate desire and our ultimate experience. So here God is desiring it, and it has become an ultimate experience for us as the children of God when we yield over and engage in that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 12:26. Colossians 1:16 also let us know all things was created by him and for him. Now let's look here. Serving God as his humble servants garners the greatest honor this life could ever afford. It is indeed God's purpose for creating us. Scriptures declare that everything begins and ends with him. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principality or power. All things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:16. Death to our fleshly ambition and desire is essential in our approach to God, and making him the Lord of our life is essential for fulfilling his purpose. This death comes through repentance in our initial approach to God, but a lifestyle of submission where we continually die to the lust of the flesh and the cares of the world must follow. Jesus proclaimed, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's Matthew 16:24-25. Now, many believed on Jesus, but they were not confessed him because they loved the praises of others more than the praises of God. Unlike him, Paul declared at the gospel without the motive of trying to please mankind. But as we were allowed of God to put in trust the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Also, you can see Galatians 1:10. Our achievement in life will not be the true scale by which God measures our success. The prophet Michael condensed the requirement of God into a scrutiny statement. He has shown me thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah 6:8. The success of our effort will vary based on our degree of talent, the nature of the task, and other varying circumstances. Therefore, only God can adequately judge the performance of his church. So here are the principles: to love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly with the Lord thy God is key for us as children of God. Now, let's look at another point. We are to give glory unto his name. Too frequently, we look at life through our own selfishness as we ponder what we should get out of life. The disciples were of the same frame of mind as Peter asked Jesus, "Behold, who has forsaken all and followed thee? What shall we have therefore?" Matthew 19 and 27. Now Jesus answered them, "Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, where the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or land for my sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Matthew chapter number 19, verses 28 through verse 29. We should have no doubt that he will fulfill the purpose of our eternal reward in this life. However, attaining that reward will sometimes require sacrifices of us. Those who serve the Lord Jesus walk in the illuminated pathways of purpose and destiny apart from darkness and giving praise and glory unto his name. And so we must recognize sometimes, child of God, it may be a sacrifice, and it will be a sacrifice. But the Lord Jesus Christ will illuminate our path. Now let's look in conclusion here. Every person should take time to pause in their busy schedule and life long enough to inquire about the purpose of his existence. These deep questions require sobriety, research, meditation, sincerity, and introspective honesty. If an individual does not answer these questions adequately, life will be meaningless. Worldly philosophy and various science offer a potpourri of theories to satisfy the thirst for understanding. Humanism declares that mankind is just a highly evolved animal compelled to follow its instinct. Humanistic declare that there is no God and that on the other side of death, human beings pass into oblivious, never to be conscious again. Even the New Age theory portrays the human race as taking an evolutionary journey, and they suggested that we are developing extrasensory perception. Both humanism and the New Age movement attempts to evaluate mankind as the controller and the molder of his own destiny. However, they fell short of the truth. The story of creation gives mankind dignity and spiritual fulfillment as creation with capacity to communicate with God. He makes us in his likeness and image as eternal beings. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis 9, verse 6. This God-given capacity to relate to deity makes mankind special and distinguished from the rest of God's creation. Now let's look at Psalms 8 and verse number 4 through 8. And it reads, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angel, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thine hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the path of the sea." And you find that again over in Psalms 8, verses 4 through 8. We must explore the lofty desire of deity order in order to find the purpose of our life. We accomplish thus exploration through engaging in a relationship with God, which also his desire for each of us. Furthermore, his will is that we acknowledge his transcendent nature and his superlative uniqueness, his prevailing sovereignty, and his position as creator of the universe. Our duty is to embrace the faith, everything he has said about himself in his holy word. We should also believe every word God says about humanity. acknowledging that we are fallen and lost without hope apart from the Redeemer's, prepares our heart to receive his plans of redemption through Jesus Christ. See Romans 3, verses 23, Isaiah 53 and 6. Only then can we truly know the joy of living, fulfilled life of purpose and significance. Jesus appealed to every human being. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 through verse 30. And so it is, child of God, for our lesson on today, the contemplative life purpose. You have purpose, child of God, and it is up to us as individuals to go back and turn back to God and really begin to say, God, you know, I really want to understand my purpose and why you created me and what my purpose is here on earth. And as you begin to engage into your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as you meditate, as you give the first fruit, as you listen unto God, and you remember the principle of life out of death, and remember all of the things that God has given to us pertaining to life and godliness. He said he's already given us everything. And what we as children of God, we must make ourselves available to those and available to the things that God has given unto us as children of God. And watch God bless the children of God with the supernatural, and he will undergird you, and he will fortify you and strengthen you. And so I want you to know, child of God, and to always remember in your heart and mind, as you seek God daily, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be and shall be added unto you, that according to the word of the Lord. And so remember what Pastor Arm always would say is that if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one prayer away from your blessing. All you need to do is ask God and seek him and knock. Because the Bible said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So if you don't have it, keep on asking. And perhaps you said, I've asked God and I asked. Now then, you probably need to start seeking. Seeking it out and things. Start seeking, where is it? Where is that blessing? What does it take? What do you need to do and things? Because God maybe have released it. What do you need?